We need to leave some fun Easter eggs for Corey as he records this.
All right.
Edits this. Hi, Corey.
I'm just kicking back. I'll wait here for you to figure out just what life is to you now.
Some of the guys talked to Bachelor back from the dead. I am your host, Drew Baker. With me this week, we have fan favorite, Evan Murray. Evan, hello there.
What's up, Drew?
How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Having a good weekend.
Yeah. So. This is a special recording. We are recording on a Sunday.
Indeed.
Only 3 weeks into the actual season, so
yeah, just a little late.
People can't complain about content anymore, other than all the people who can very much complain.
They can. That we have,
it is what it is.
All right, next on our cast this week, Grant Pitt. Grant, how are you?
Doing great. It is weird recording on a Sunday.
Grant, are you on a delay, or did you just like? You just took like a half second to respond to.
No, like your voice froze halfway through saying that, and I was like, "Oh boy, I hope he doesn't say my name." And then Grant. So hopefully that doesn't happen too much throughout the show.
My microphone is in line, so I will hear everything I say continuous anyway. But if it gets super stuttery, y'all gotta let me know.
I'm pretty sure that's a Skype thing, not a microphone thing.
Well, we're really pulling the skirt back this week to let people know how we do
this
show.
That's not the expression at all.
Is now. All right. Finally, back for a very special Bachelor season. One Mr. John Lopez. John, how are you?
Howdy, folks. I'm back. To stay? Maybe. I don't know.
Wait, are we allowed to say howdy now?
I've been saying, yeah.
Were we not allowed to say it before?
I don't like it when you say it. It's fun when I say it.
John's been harassing me about saying howdy for like 4 years.
You like accost strangers on the street with it. It's different. I'm just saying it to my friends.
Yeah, you can't just walk up and be like howdy to a person you've never met before. That's illegal.
What am I supposed to say? Hello?
Yes. Yeah, obviously. What else would... Oh, my God. All right, moving on. So, folks, we know it's been a while since you heard from us. Some of y'all might be wondering where the finale episode for the season of The Bachelorette was. And there's a good reason y'all don't have one. And then moving on, I thought about working that as a bit.
The episode did come out. I remember it. You guys just must have missed it.
Yeah, no, we definitely had a finale. There definitely was a finale. All right, so here's the deal. I'm going to do a quick rundown at the top of the episode of how we're going to handle this, how we're going to catch up. I am going to set a timer for an hour. And folks, we are not going to give you a week-by-week recap to bring us back up to speed. We're basically going to just, I'm going to put an hour on the clock. We're going to talk about everything we want to talk about. And then we'll be back on schedule for.
Do you not want to clear the air more about like Corey not being here or like us being out for like a month and a half or whatever?
I mean, there's no good way to do it. All right. We're going to all make it part. Do we want to do the housekeeping as part of the hour, or do we want that to be like the pregame show?
Just say it.
Okay. So quick, bring you up to speed how this season's going to go. So Corey will be taking this season off. He's still going to be helping us behind the scenes, maybe have him on in a guest spot. But we're hoping that this will be the bulk of the cast for our third season of covering any of the Bachelor IPs. We did not get to record. Those of y'all who might have heard the message from the host, we were all home for the holidays and did not get to record a finale. We can talk about the finale very briefly for The Bachelorette at the top of this countdown. And we have not recorded for the last few weeks because we have jobs and things got back in spring. This is the first full So this would be the first full circle season of some of the boys Talk the Bachelorette. So as we get into season two of the year round cycle, we were unaware and unprepared that the shows are literally backed up against each other. So people,
Drew, just so you know, it's some of the boys Talk the Bachelor because the
Have I been saying Bachelorette?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's embarrassing. If
which
I had
is
that
crazy, because last season you only said The Bachelor.
Yeah, I'm always going to be a half season behind on everything. So, all right. But for some of the boys, Talk The Bachelor and other Bachelor shows. Is that good? Did I cover everything?
Yeah.
Did I guess where we are? All right. Starting the timer in 3, 2, 1. The timer has begun. All right. Top of the episode. Let's talk really quick about the end of The Bachelorette. So, let's see. Grant, I know you watched it.
Evan, no, I did not watch it.
Did you not watch it, Grant?
We're doing The Bachelorette real quick?
I wanted to just talk about it for like 5 seconds, and then we'll move on.
I don't even know who won, so don't tell me.
I feel like we got to move on. That's ancient history.
Okay. Evan, did the right person win The Bachelorette?
I think so. I like
that. All right, perfect.
So
moving on.
Thank you.
And that was some of the boys Talk The Bachelorette.
Oh, wait. We gotta mention real quick that Dale and Claire are separated.
Yes, we do absolutely have to mention it. So this might be a benefit that we didn't immediately get to record after when we wanted to earlier this week, because apparently other stuff has come out. But Claire and Dale are no longer together, and what y'all as the audience have to understand is that's just really funny. it's just really funny. Like, to be on a show and to immediately fall in love with someone that you met after 5 minutes and not think that it's going to possibly end poorly, leading up to and including when you in the after the final rose say that the what comes next is babies, and the man who just proposed looks like as if they have just been like hit by a trailer truck that
full
it's,
of babies.
It's just full of it's just really funny. Apparently less funny that Claire might have found out at the same time everyone else did in terms of when their relationship was broken up.
Oh,
but that was the update that Dale put out his statement saying that they had mutually parted ways, and then Claire pulled one out like 2 days later. It was like, I'm not sure what your definition of mutual means, but finding out at the same time as everyone else on Instagram is not very mutual. But they may have already been split before that. Just might
must
have
been a scheduled post on Instagram. And
yeah, might have. They might have different early definitions of taking a break. Which, you know, wish the best for Claire. Maybe see her on a Paradise something. I don't know. Probably not.
She's so old now. Like, just you got to do it the old fashioned way.
Jesus.
I think she's 40 or she's 39, about to be 40. It's like,
yeah, she was 39.
You can't be gone on Bachelor pad with like late 20 year olds. Like, it just doesn't work that way. So
the oldest Bachelorette in history, because she doesn't settle for men.
That's correct. Like
that. I think she literally said that at the beginning.
That was the reference.
That's the joke.
Literally beat by beat, that was what she came into, that she doesn't settle, but apparently yes, settled for literally the first
the
person.
Point, Drew. That's why Grant said it.
You know,
it's actually funnier now that you've explained
it. The thing about comedy, what you have to understand is jokes actually get funnier the more you explain them.
I would like to talk about The Bachelor. You kind of steamrolled me, trapped me, bait and switch, I guess, into this Bachelorette conversation.
It makes for good content.
Wow.
All right. Let's transit. All right. We're taking our Some of the Boys Talk The Bachelorette merch off. Putting on our Some of the Guys Talk The Bachelor. I can never remember if it's boys or guys, so I'm just going to say both interchangeably, and that way I'm never not wrong.
It's canon.
Yeah. So, all right, guys, let's meet our bachelor. So the bachelor this year is one Mr. Matt James, who Matt uniquely was not a contestant on a former season of The Bachelorette. Technically, he was not, but he was scheduled to be on Claire's season of The Bachelorette and is a friend of former Bachelor Tyler Cameron. I got that right, Evan. I'm looking
Tyler
at you.
Tyler C. Yeah.
Tyler C.
Tyler C. is not The Bachelor. He was on
The Bachelorette
season. Yes.
Yes.
Fan so, favorite.
Gotcha. So Matt was going to be on Claire's season, was a big fan favorite, and they ended up pulling him to make him the lead for the 25th season of The Bachelor. So let's go through his things real quick. Matt is 28 years old, real estate broker, entrepreneur, and community organizer. Went to Wake Forest, played football at Wake Forest, currently lives in New York. Did he live in Brooklyn? Did he live in Manhattan? I think they said at the beginning.
I don't know which one, but he lives with Tyler C.
Gotcha.
I think they just said New York City.
Yeah.
I know they showed him walking around with a bunch of kids going to like different parks and stuff.
They got those in every borough.
Yeah.
So there's no way to tell except for Staten Island. There's no parks. No fun.
Staten Island is just like dumpster after dumpster with like raccoons and like
It's a lot like purgatory.
Just barking dogs that just like have mangy skin.
Fuck everywhere. You, Staten Island. No one from Staten Island listens to this. They don't know what podcasts are over there.
They don't have phones. All right, so guys, let's talk about Matt. What are our thoughts? We're 3 weeks in. We can go all the way from the beginning all the way to things recently, however y'all want to do this. Just give me your thoughts on Matt. But first, let's take a quick moment to bow our heads and pray over our introduction of Matt and, you know, just wish for a good season of some of the guys talk The Bachelorette. That's enough. Bachelor.
I thought you were about to actually lead us in prayer, which I was hoping for because I made it to morning church today. Again, we're recording on a Sunday, but I'm missing afternoon church for this, Drew. I need my fix. Give it to me.
It is upsetting that you probably are the chaplain of the group for some reason.
Me?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, you, Grant.
I guess.
Drew is a godless heathen, as we all know.
Yeah. Should I say a quick prayer for us?
Yeah. Sure, Grant. That's what people listen to this podcast for, is not jokes, but it's for you to lead us in prayer.
Why can't it be both?
Are you going to do the bit or not?
Dear Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here together over Skype to praise you, bring you glory, and to talk about The Bachelor. I pray that you look over Matt and the contestants, even though the show is probably already over. I pray that Matt finds true love, and I pray Victoria goes back to whatever her hole she crawled out of, never to return. Amen.
Amen, that was, brother.
That was deeply uncomfortable.
Okay, so now that that's cut?
Yeah. There's going to be as little editing as possible for this, because we got
to
give...
Trust Corey to make the right decision here.
Give Corey what he wants.
I like Matt. I think Matt's a good guy. He's... they take no shortages of opportunities with him without a shirt. So that kind of tells you all you need to know about him. But he seems like he's a real genuine guy. He seems like he's a nice guy. He doesn't really seem like he's kind of stuck up or anything like that. So, you know, I think he's been fine so far. He's just been like a normal dude, I feel like. And he hasn't been terrible like Peter.
He's kind of
continues.
He's pretty like boilerplate bachelor for the most part. Like nice guy who's understanding and handsome and hot, but he's definitely much better than Peter. That should go without saying, because he's like an actual adult human male and not like a weird child robot. I don't really like know. There's like not much to know about him though. I don't know. You know, other than that.
Yeah. I think where I've come on Matt after 3 weeks is that I don't know that I necessarily like Matt, but he's not a bad person. Like I've reflected on that compared to Pete's season, where I thought Pete was just truly terrible. I don't know. Matt doesn't seem like the person that I would enjoy being around for very long, but I think he seems like a fine enough dude. I think over the last few weeks, I think I've noticed that he does give an exceptional amount of agency to the women and seems to like care about them as people, and not just like contestants on the show. I think about when he, so there was this past week's episode where he did the, was it the past week or 2 weeks ago, or this week two, when he did the RV date with, who was that, Brie?
I think that was last, no, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago when he did, Brie was this past week then. I can't remember who.
No. Oh, did they have two one-on-ones? Because I know he went with one of the Sabrinas last week.
This, you know, a better Serena? Season.
Serena?
Serena, yeah, not Sabrina, Serena.
It's falling off the rails real quick.
Yeah. Right now. So if Serena was the one that was on the, like they did the RVs, then Serena got like thrown from the RV, and Matt's like first comment was like,
"Are you talking about ATVs?"
Oh, that's why I was
the
so
ATVs.
Confused.
Yeah,
God damn it, Drew.
RVs. My bad.
I was saying,
I'm like, do I not remember this RV date?
I forgot an entire date.
Four wheelers.
Yeah, the four wheelers.
Four wheelers. So that was Serena, or was that Brie?
No,
that was Brie.
No. Yeah, but I don't know if it was last week or 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
so when Brie got thrown from the ATV, the four-wheeler, he was like, his first comment was like, oh, wow, Brie's mom's going to hate me because I almost got her, like, daughter killed. I was like, oh, that's interesting that he, like, you know, thought of her as, like, a human being because, you know who did not do that for an entire season?
The funniest thing about that date was her and the RV. Now you got me saying it.
Yeah.
The ATV, she was behind him, so she was just getting splattered with mud from his ATV. So when they pull up to that first place to park, he's like completely clean and she's just fucking caked in mud.
And she was wearing like a white sweater too, so just like caked mud all across the middle of her sweater. I think Pete is a particularly caring guy. Sorry, not Pete, Matt, damn it. Matt is a particularly caring person, which does make him, like, easy to root for, but I think at the same time, I don't know that he's, like, the most compelling, like, show material. I think it's leading to a lot of, like, go along with whatever the producers want him to moment, since he seems, like, in and up, like, on his own, he seems like he'd be a kind of a boring dude. So I think I feel like we've already had a few kind of instances of that that drama making its way through the house, or not house, but much nicer estate vacation than we are no longer at the La Quinta.
Damn. Yep. I missed the La Quinta.
Now y'all say something.
No, I'm glad we're clearly very rusty from taking like a month and a half off.
We got to get the jitters out. It's fine.
Yeah, I think Matt is very great. We really skipped over the fact that he's making history as the first Black Bachelor.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to, like, point out, like, it's about damn time. What is this, season 25?
Correct.
So that means that one in 25 Bachelors, that's what, 4%? That is definitely not an accurate representation of American demographics. To see that after 25 seasons.
Yeah. In the last 25 years, there have been as many Black Bachelors as there have been Black presidents. So
wait,
the sabermetrics
is the
thanks, Harvard.
I thought we established it's not one season per year though. The show's not that old.
No, it's not, but I don't know when the first season of The Bachelor was. It was probably like 2004 or something.
I don't know. We've all got computers in front of us, but God knows we're not going to look it up.
No, absolutely not. We should probably move on from Matt. What's the next topic on your list? We have a timer, guys, so we might want to...
We're doing pretty good on the timer. We got we got quite a bit of time. So the first season of The Bachelor was March 25th, 2002.
Okay, so 18.
Interesting. Yeah. Almost 19 years. So topic number two is the cast. There are, I think there's like 30 girls. I know about to get more.
They set a record number, right, for this season?
Yeah, it was 32 to start, I believe.
Which is wild, freaking like March Madness out here. I know we said we were going to do a beat by beat, but did anyone stand out from like night one?
Should we? Anyone stand out except for like the one we're going to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, we're literally going to spend, there are 45 minutes left on this clock. We're going to spend no less than half an hour talking about one girl in particular.
Someone else give your shout outs then.
I really like Abigail. She's my favorite. She also is the first one to get a kiss. So she definitely stood out right off the bat.
Now, Abigail is hard of hearing, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
She got the first impression.
She got the first impression. She talked about her like cochlear implant. I don't remember. She also said she had a twin or something, but
yeah, she has an older sister who's also a hard of hearing. So that's why she was saying like she grew up and didn't really have to, you know, figure it out on her own. Like her sister kind of paved the way and she just followed in her footsteps. But yeah, I think besides the first night, like she obviously got the first impression, Rose. So great first impression, but I haven't seen or heard much from her since then.
I know she was on the group date. I think she was on the paintball.
Yeah, but she was on a losing team. So
yeah, so she didn't get any kind of like extra time.
What's the stat on first impression roses like going far?
We need Corey for that one.
They definitely go far, but I don't know if they always win.
Hannah Ann won the first impression rose on Fantasy season, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Like that one kind of one for one, but yeah, I don't know. I like Abigail too. I think she's awesome. But yeah, we haven't really seen her in the last like 2 weeks too much. Although I think she did have like kind of like a speaking moment on week three. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully she's back in action.
I'm big on Serena P personally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that date went real well. She was also, I guess one of the, there's like a lot of people I don't like now because of the Sarah incident. I don't know.
Which we'll get into.
Yeah, we'll get into. But I'll say like she's one of the people who wasn't really involved in that. So I appreciate that. Seemed like she had a really genuine date. It is refreshing to hear like, I don't know, their conversation was very like mature compared to like Pete being like, you know, you got big old kissable lips and that's why I love you.
That's someone who I think has had a redemption arc of sorts as the season goes on is Katie. Because night one, Katie seemed like someone who needed to be stopped as soon as possible.
She was a wild card.
Because Katie, if y'all will remember,
Katie. She had the dildo thing, right?
Yeah, so Katie showed up with a vibrator big enough to be a lightsaber and just wielding it as such for the first night. And then Katie also had the, I still think it's up there as possibly, like, despite all of the Victoria drama, which, of course, we're going to get to, I still think, for me, the most, like, cringeworthy moment in this season thus far was when Matt was talking to, who is the girl that is from Haiti, or has family from Haiti? Or was it Puerto Rico?
There is a Puerto Rican moment.
I think it was,
I'm just looking at his cast.
I think it was Catalina.
Oh yeah, former Miss Puerto Rico.
That makes sense. Yeah, that does seem like the correct one. I think Catalina was the one that Matt was talking to, and like Matt had asked her a question about like, oh, it's like your family doing all right, like after all the hurricanes, and Catalina got like really into it because she's like, yeah, my grandparents were still there, and they like didn't have power for like a month, and then she in the middle of explaining that, where Katie from behind her comes in and taps her on the shoulder with the vibrator says, hey, can I steal Matt for
man, that was like,
she didn't know what they were talking about.
I think my chest like caved inside of itself like a black hole because it was just like the moment of, oh my God.
I thought the dildo thing was a cool move. Not tapping her on the shoulder with it, that's a little rude, but it was a pretty funny gag. I thought,
yeah, it was a good bit.
It was funny. I think the only other girl that I want to give a shout out to is the University of Florida's own Sonny, who I actually knew in undergrad. Yeah, so I think Sonny was a lot of people that, and for those who know her at Florida, thought that she was going to go quite far, just because she very much has a personality that fits the show. I will get into some kind of behind the scenes things I've heard from how night one went. But yeah, Sonny, Sonny was on student government when I was on with her. Did not know her too well, but her older brother was actually my site manager for Lake Wahburg. So nice. Was really rooting for her in her her goat feet, but alas, she did not go very far.
Yeah. Nope. I didn't like the goat feet.
Night one seemed like it was pretty brutal, mostly because like it's so as the night. And I had this confirmed, but you could tell that the girls were basically in like three different rooms and Matt was kind of going from like room to room and like taking girls from the room to like talk to them. Mm-hmm. But night one also had to have gone no less than like 10 or 11 hours because they start night one with like the mansions arriving and it's clearly dark out and like they're shooting in the winter. So they might've started at like 7 or 8. But the ending scene of that episode is the girls who were not chosen being walked out and it is morning and they are still in their night one dresses.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember seeing it was light out and thinking like, damn, did they just like really go all night? And so I guess so.
Yeah, it sounds kind of just like, you know, you're like, it sounds kind of obvious when you say it that way, but when I was watching the episode with Hill, she was saying that like, well, yeah, if there's like 32 women and all those women get even just like 10 minutes, then that's like seven. Don't check my math, but that's like 7 hours of people just like talking to each other, not even including like all the like full group stuff and then the roast ceremony themselves. And that like they're trying to like load them up with like cocktails and wine all throughout the night. So,
yeah.
Night one seems like it was a brutal marathon.
That's why, in solidarity, we're going to record for 7 hours straight.
That's, you know, we have to give the people what they want. And that's just more of Grit and I tripping over our own words as we go on and on and on.
But they'll drag me into this.
You
know,
you get what you get. All right. I think... I mean, we'll talk about them as they go on, but like, let's talk about she who must be named and she who must be shamed. Fellas, let's spend the next 38-ish minutes talking about Victoria.
The queen.
This girl needs to be stopped at all costs.
The girl who was introduced with the title queen.
Yeah, bro. Honor title card.
I feel like we try our best to do a no spoiler show, but I think as we've just ingested more and more media, it's been a lot of fun articles that come out about Victoria outside of her time on The Bachelorette.
None of them have shocked Bachelor,
and not one of them has been shocking. Starting with, I guess the first one. No, let's talk about Victoria first, and then we can talk about how terrible she seems to be, even outside the realms of the show. So she introduced herself as a queen, and then remained committed to the bit. Like after, like everyone does, like an introduction that's like a weird part of their personality, or just like, you know, a fun quirky thing, like
goat feet. Perhaps
Sonny did goat feet, and then the who is it? Kayla, the girl from Durham, came in with a stick shift truck and. You know, everyone's got a little fun thing. Someone came in with like, you know, was wearing lingerie and let Matt pick the dress that she was going to wear.
I think that was Kaylee.
Pronounced lingerie, by the way. Yeah. Lingerie.
What'd you say, John?
Pronounced lingerie.
Lingerie. Lingerie. lingerie. But no, Victoria.
She's a queen.
Came in
bro.
with a tiara. Which I believe are worn by princesses predominantly.
This is real adult Disney adult energy.
Oh, hardcore, dude.
And you know what? That's par for the course because you know where Victoria spent at least 4 years of her life.
Don't say it.
That would be one Florida State University.
My God.
Oh man, I want to know because she absolutely was in one. I want to know what sorority she was in at Victoria.
Is she like a monarchy major? Like, how did she end up with this job? this job she proclaims to have. On the website, it says that too. I'm looking at the. It says Victoria, 27, Queen, Los Angeles, California.
Yo, what if she was actually a drag queen? That'd be wild, right?
That would be wild, Grant. I think that would be an exceptionally wild thing to happen.
That would be a hell of a plot twist, bro.
So, I mean, if someone was like, if someone tells me as a profession they're a queen, that's what I'm assuming they mean.
Mm. I typed in Victoria FSU sorority to Google, and the top result is a Greek rank message board posting that says, was Victoria Larson from The Bachelor in a sorority?
I want to say some people might say that Victoria is not representing her alma mater well. I think she is representing it exactly as well as it deserves.
I mean, let's cover it. The UF girl got eliminated on night one, and that kind of seems fitting too. But Victoria is out here just like absolutely representing Tallahassee.
In classic UF fashion. We don't care how well UF does. We just care how poorly FSU does.
That really defines my time as a Florida student, where I watched some of the three most miserable seasons of football that could possibly have happened. We only want to see FSU fail. And fail she shall, at least for a few more weeks, it seems, because she seems to keep advancing.
Yeah, so this is where I get into Matt's judgment of character a little bit. I like Matt with a huge caveat that how has he let her got this far? Like, she was very obviously, I feel like it's very apparent. She's awful. But Matt's, like, into it for
I've
some reason.
I've convinced myself that the producers are forcing him to keep her on.
They have to be forcing him.
Like, she was the last person to get a rose week two.
So yeah. I think that was the prevailing thought for, like, the first two. I mean, literally for like weeks one and two, but then I think week three, like Matt pulled her aside and was like, when she was starting all her drama and then blaming other people for being dramatic, Matt pulled her aside to say like, there's a reason you're still here or something. Like John was saying, like Matt, there does seem to be something that Matt unironically enjoys about Victoria.
Was the first thing besides being like, I'm a queen, that was the first red flag. And then she like immediately is like being rude to the other girls, right? Because she's like, why, like, I should be spending time with him, and they're all like, it's night one.
Yeah.
I think Victoria Victoria stole Matt twice, right, on night one. Yeah. Or was that Katie?
Yeah, no, I think it was Victoria. But yes. I think one of her quotes was like, she's not here to be in a sorority. She's here to like Matt, or it was something like that.
And everybody's like, we all agree, but like,
you don't have to be like it.
Yeah. One of my favorite prevailing parts of how terrible she seems to be is that she consistently describes herself as being like a huge empath and like really being there for people. And she's like, you know, she describes things as toxic, which I have only ever done to either describe a workplace or like a Twitter thread.
Or a Britney Spears song.
Yeah, or a Britney Spears song. But she actively describes situations that she puts herself in. And
that she created.
She'll create a situation and then say, I need to remove myself from this toxic energy. And then she will go create another toxic environment somewhere else.
It was Marilyn, bro. Rest in peace, Marilyn, bro.
Oh, that's... my God. Marilyn was just the nicest person.
Dude, it was so she got kicked out already?
Yeah, it was literally... I don't know how they assign roommate situations. Right. Yeah. I don't know how they assign roommate situations, but she was Victoria's roommate. And Victoria just goes, this girl needs to go. And next thing you know, bam, she's gone. And I'm like... Man,
holy shit.
Terrifying.
She's powerful.
That just like it spoke so like to a lot when Victoria would try to go to all the other girls and was like, well, Marilyn's just like starting all this drama and she just, you know, she's just so mean and she's a bully behind the scenes, and everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about? They're like, she has been nothing but nice and said nothing.
What was even harder to watch was Marilyn trying to like have a heart to heart with Victoria and like apologize, like
apologizing.
I feel bad, like I didn't mean to. I'm sorry. Can we talk? She's like, no, go fuck yourself.
And she, like, as far as someone who truly does not know what they did in order to, like, earn this level of vitriol, she was, like, truly apologizing. Like, maybe something happened that I'm unaware of, or just, like, I might have said something to you that I didn't have context of or something. And Victoria's like, nah, bye, bitch. Like, I'm done talking to you. Like, I don't accept your apology. Or
toxic and manipulative.
I have never seen... That's not true. I've obviously, like, there have been much more consequential gaslightings that have happened in, like, the previous 4 years, particularly. But, like, it's just, it's wild to watch it, like, happen in real time that way, where she's and like, works, I'm not crazy, you're crazy. And it's like, as the audience, I'm like, what did we miss?
I'm not going to get into it, but I've seen this before. Like, the second I saw Victoria and the way she behaved, I was like, oh, I know people like her.
We really need to have a certain guest.
Matt did a similar thing that Pete did, where he just, like, confronted with a situation like this, he's just like never heard of lying before. It's like, why? Yeah. Well, she said this, but you said that. That doesn't...
This is
how could this possibly be?
For Pete, that was both Victoria P and Hannah Ann, right? For the whole champagne gate shit that happened early in the season. And then later down the road also happened again with Tammy and Michaela.
Yeah.
But
McKenna.
Yeah. But no, for it was wild because Matt did all that stuff. And then he went and talked to Victoria and was like, there's a reason you're still here. Like, you don't need to feel like afraid of your spot. And then also talked to Marilyn. It was just, again, super aggressive with Marilyn. And, like, I don't know, maybe it was, like, to her detriment that she, like, kept apologizing. Maybe that, like, if Matt, you know, has a room temperature IQ similar to Pete, then, you know, yeah, like you said, John, no one's ever heard of lying before.
Right. Why would Victoria say that?
Yeah. Why? You think someone would just do that? Just go make drama and use it against someone in order to advance their own?
The problem with Victoria is, like, once she won that battle, I was like, all right, she's going to be here way too long.
She's on a war path.
Bro, she's going to somehow make it to, like, the top four or some shit. Like,
it's the part of the show that I truly wish had some kind of, like, you know, almost, like, survivor element to it. Like, I wish that, like, Victoria could politically game it so much that we knew that she was going to be around for a while. Like, had a physical way of knowing.
So to move on to, like, the next piece of drama, just very briefly, Victoria benefited so much from everyone turning on Sarah because everyone forgot how much they hated Victoria for like 5 minutes.
But like, she's still
a common enemy.
But she still managed to bring her back to being the terrible person. Like, the Sarah drama was between Sarah and Katie, and Victoria could not let a moment go in order to, like, make herself a part of it.
Well, the Sarah drama was between Sarah and Katie to start, and I think Victoria transformed it to be Sarah versus everyone.
Yeah. No, so, it literally was. I mean, because, like, yeah, this is when, like, Katie had her, like, because Katie was absolutely slighted by what Sarah did, and to name the situation. So Sarah was a part of the group date. So Sarah got her one-on-one with What a Ball.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. That's why I stopped talking halfway through my statement.
Yeah, that ball was in the air.
Here, go ahead and contemplate that. I can sum it up even quicker. Sarah had a one-on-one date. It went great. Got a rose. And then during a group date, Sarah interrupted and spent time with Matt.
Sarah, who was not on the group date.
Yeah, Sarah was not on the group date. She already had her one-on-one date and then decided to just barge in halfway through the group date because she was upset. Why and when we can get into if you want, but needless to say, Katie was a little pissed because here comes this girl who already had a whole one-on-one that just interrupts and takes Matt away. But Katie handled it, in my opinion, very great. Like, she was obviously upset, who wouldn't be, but she didn't, like, go out for blood. But as soon as Victoria smelled the blood in the water, Victoria's like, hey, do you want me to kill that girl for you? Because I'll totally kill her.
She had the knives out and ready. Like, she was just waiting. Like, Victoria approaches, and there have been other girls, now that we've watched like multiple seasons of the show, there have been both girls and men who treat this show like as if it is a competition. Like, I think there are like, there are parallels for me between Victoria and Noah in the way that they treat it like a game show almost, that they have to, that others have to lose in order for them to win. So like, I see that mentality there, but yeah, Victoria, when Sarah came out and was like talking to everyone and like try to apologize, but there, again, there's no real good way for you to like at all apologize for that moment, because it's like, I think this was like the one like moment of like lucidity that Victoria had, is like, you can't do something bad and then come in here after the fact, after you like consciously did that bad thing and was like, hey, y'all, I'm really sorry I did that. And I was like, that doesn't make it better. None of us have to forgive you. And I was like,
Victoria, I mean, I think she gave it. It was a solid apology attempt,
yeah,
I thought.
It, but like, as far as an attempt goes, sure. But like, I'm watching it and I'm like, oh, Victoria just made a good point. And then Sarah, they bully Sarah into leaving. And then Katie comes back and Victoria's like, so are you going to cut that bitch? Or like, what are you, like, what are you going to do? Or like, how are we going to kill her? Like, what's up? Let me know. Where are we meeting?
Bro, that bullying, that scene was so rough. Like, genuinely apologizing, crying. I'm going through a lot. I'm sorry. And then just like, yeah, well, fuck you. you should have thought of that before you like ruined this for us.
It was just handled
a bunch
so
of girls
poorly.
Who didn't even have to be mad. Like a bunch not everyone was even on that group date.
It's one of the few things like, time is like the most precious resource in the show, especially early in the show when like they're trying to get to spend time with Matt and like find the, or like make the connection, so on so forth. So like, yeah, like in that vein, it is truly wild that Sarah left the, where they like, where all the people who had been on a group date who lost, so I guess basically just their rooms, and gone all the way to like that suite somewhere else in the hotel to be like, hey, can I steal Matt after you had lost the group date? Like, I know nothing matters on the show anymore. I think it's been progressively moving away and away from like the confines of the show, like mattering. That was wild. And like, all the girls deserve to be mad, understandably. I think that was also what kind of like made it a moment where you're like, oh, Victoria's like speaking some sense here, but that's just because Victoria is just a mad person by default. And you're like, oh, the moment met her personality and then she exceeded it and just kept going. All gas, no brakes.
I'm not even sure she made a good point, but I see what you're saying. And I that's just not what I thought. Yeah. She just came in way too hot.
Yeah.
She
was fighting Katie's battle for Katie, and Katie was like, well, let me go talk to Sarah and like actually try to like learn more about that. And we got that moment later. But like when Sarah started walking back to her room, and Katie comes like running out and is like, yo, like, can we talk about what just happened? Like, cause that was ridiculous. And then Victoria is like right behind Katie. And it was like, it's like that Office meme.
I forgot
meme.
About that.
Bro. It's like the Office meme where like Dwight's standing there and like he turns and Angela's there and he's like, ah, fuck. I think Katie literally had to tell Victoria like, hey, I got this. It's all right. You don't need to be here.
I also think the hate for Sarah was a little amplified because she was the one who fainted during the rose ceremony. Yeah, and I think a lot of the girls thought that was on purpose. So I think this kind of coupled with that, really led to the girls like really disliking her.
Do you think it was on purpose? Quick poll?
No, I don't think so.
No, I think she's clearly like in the middle of like an ongoing panic attack.
Yeah. Seemed pretty, I don't think she doesn't seem, I could see Victoria fake fainting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like not to like diagnose anyone, but like, it seems like, I mean, between the stuff about like, I'm sure the show is like very stressful and like being in that situation, I'm sure like a producer like goaded into her like taking that opportunity, because she was probably, I'm sure she was like talking in the room or talking to whoever her producer handler was and was like, I just really don't know if I like said the right things, or like, I you know, I kind of want to see him again and like talk about some more stuff. And the producer was like, you know what you should really do? You should go interrupt that group date. because producers are scum of the earth.
Yeah. Oh, he's right in there. Just go grab him.
Yeah, none of the girls will mind. Like, he's actually free right now. If you go talk to him, he's not doing anything. So I think she just, like, she is in a high-stress situation being on the show. I think the context of, like, her father's medical diagnosis and that ALS is a terminal illness, and her saying that, like, they think he has, like, weeks, not months, and I'm here, and, like, I don't know how to deal with this. So, like, I truly think she was in the middle of, like, a panic attack for, like, especially the rose ceremony.
Yeah. No, that was bad.
That's why I realized, thanks to this conversation right here, that full circle, it all comes back to Victoria being the main bad guy, because Katie was the one that did eventually sit down one-on-one with Sarah, learn about her dad, learn about, like, oh, she's genuinely, like, freaking out, like Drew said, possibly having panic attacks, and that's why she needed to talk to Matt to, you know, essentially say, like, hey, I'm missing precious moments with my dad to be here. I don't know if it's worth it. And Katie had that conversation, and I feel like Katie could have had that conversation sooner if Victoria hadn't been, like, 100%, right off the 100%. Bat. Victoria literally is, like, she's trying to pick off girls one at a time, and she just finds the weakest link and just goes for it. It's terrifying.
Almost like she's an emotionally manipulative and abusive person.
She's an empath, bro. What are you talking about? The craziest, dude, the fucked up scene that was very awkward but kind of funny was when Katie comes back and sits down with the girl. She's like, so I just talked to Sarah, and Victoria's like, ew, gross. And she's like, she's leaving. And Victoria's like, yay, like, literally claps. He's like, her dad's really sick and she's having panic attacks. Everyone's just like, oh.
Victoria just starts
Victoria's
clapping
just
harder.
just like, hell yeah.
No, Grant, you hit the nail on the head, because I think if Victoria had literally not been, like, right
adding
behind the night
fire.
Before, like, behind Katie, like, just, like, throwing, literally actively throwing gasoline on the fire, I think Katie and Sarah would have been able to have that conversation. And maybe Sarah doesn't, like, share it right away, but, like, it became very clear very quickly that, like, as soon as, like, Sarah told Katie that it's, like, I'm just, like, I feel like I'm in panic and, like, I don't know if I should be here, and Katie's like, you can't leave now, like, you can't, like, go out like this, and then Sarah was like, no, actually, like, I do not know how much time I'm going to have, like, how much longer my dad will be here, and Katie, like, immediately is like, I lost my father when I was very young, like, you should spend time with the, like, the people you love. I was like, so, like, sure, it definitely, like, it humanized both of them, because, like, obviously, I think when talking all the way back about how, like, Katie was someone on night one who I'm like, oh, this girl's gonna be wild, and then it's like, okay, like, she can have fun, but then, like, she's one of the more truly empathic people on the show, it seems, because she was able to understand that that's a stressful situation, and, like, yeah, you were probably pressured into being here, and now you're, like, having regrets, and... like,
you're also getting bullied by everyone else on the show now,
right? So. Like, and that Katie and Sarah were able to resolve that, and then Katie goes and talks to all the other girls, because she understands, like, why it would be, like, emotionally taxing on Sarah to come down and explain that same shit, let alone if Victoria is still, like, ramped up.
Can I slightly change the direction of this conversation?
Yeah, let's do it.
So John mentioned that was one of the, like, cringiest moments for him. For me, the cringiest moment to date would still involve Victoria, and it was when when Marilyn was like, I'm going to sit down with her and hash this out. And Victoria would literally get moving away from her. Like, she had, like, COVID. Was, like,
I don't want
to
sit next to you, yeah.
Marilyn's like, can I sit here with you? She goes, you could sit, but not with me. I don't like you. And she's like, well, I'm just going to sit down. And as she sits down, Victoria gets up and moves away further.
Well,
that was painful to watch.
So the other part before then was Marilyn tried to go up to Victoria when she was with, like, two or three other people. And Marilyn was like, hey, Victoria, like, do you mind if we go talk for a minute? And was, like, very polite about it. And Victoria was like, you can say what you have to say, but, like, I'm not going anywhere with you. Like, Jesus Christ.
Truly the worst. How does that, like, Matt can't pick? I mean, here's my theory, I guess. She's not a real person. Like, she's a false flag operation.
She did get in internet trouble for having a MAGA flag in the background, and then I want to say that this is one of the most, like, incredible, like, it makes complete sense.
Wait, was that on the show and I missed it?
No, it was on her Instagram, because once these people, like, unlock their Instagram, everyone goes through all their photos. So one of the photos was found that it's not, like, displayed, it's folded up, but you can tell from, like, the stylization that it is clearly a MAGA, like, Trump flag. And when,
I'm truly,
like,
shocked.
When it was mentioned, she did not address the flag. She said it was a rental property in Las Vegas. Did not acknowledge it was, like, came with the property or, like, wasn't her. Like, that was all she said.
That's even weirder. I brought my MAGA flag to my room.
And then her next line was, I supported the BLM protests. That was the entirety of her explanation to the flag.
She supported which side of the protest?
That's great. Yeah, I think she said she supported the BLM protests, but she might have just said I attended the BLM
protests. Blue Lives Matter protest.
I hope she just said
she thinks BLM is actually Blue Lives Matter. That's what she's talking about. She's just clueless.
It's literally her doublespeak. That's like, that's what she meant.
I just think she's like, you guys seen Iron Man 3, obviously.
Y'all think
she's the Mandarin, but she's really just like a paid actress.
Yeah. I was gonna say, y'all think Victoria was mad that she was probably still stuck in that mansion and could not be on the Capitol on July 6th?
Was the mansion still occupied on July 6th? January 6th.
Yeah,
dude,
sorry,
stop
January
6th. Things and then making us say the same wrong thing.
I refuse to. You think, I mean, they're probably gone by then, but they probably, like, still have to be on, like, NDA, so they're probably, like, not going out in public so that they, like, no one knows who won. You think she was just, like...
You think she really would have given a shit if that was the case?
Oh, no, she'd be out in public.
No, I want to say that she was almost, like, you know, just, like, walking up and down the hallway of her house, just, like, breaking, like, mirrors and, like, glass pictures in her own house to, like, get the sensation of being there.
Also, I just want to say... Because I already addressed this a bit earlier, but you forgot. You're claiming that Victoria is a false flag. There's no way a human being could genuinely be like this. I know people that are like this. They exist. And it's terrifying.
Again, we have to... We feel the need to bring up that we may know a real-life example of
this. What do you mean, may?
I'm trying to protect certain people.
Yeah, this is SVU. Like, the names and details have been changed to protect the innocent. Exactly.
Yeah. I do want to say the last thing about Victoria being truly awful is that she was arrested for like petty larceny in
$250 worth of groceries, makeup. I guess, from Publix.
Yeah, stole makeup from a Publix, and she did it in 2013, which would have put her approximately around the Jameis Crablegs incident. So
I was
just
gonna
say
that's actually her most redeeming quality.
Has anyone seen Victoria and Jameis Winston in the same place at the same time?
Yes, actually. I don't want to get into it, but yes, I have seen that.
something to think about.
We got
to
talk about
that. That's actually possible, right? Like, I don't know. Wait,
I just pray to God it was the same Publix.
She went to Florida State.
It was a tally.
She's 27.
Publix, so.
Bro, she definitely could have been,
like,
at a party with Jameis Winston. There's a high chance that she and Jameis Winston
certainly
have
there.
Interacted.
Did you guys notice she looked like she had a black eye for some of these episodes?
My friends and I were talking about that. We're not sure what that is. We think she's, like, not getting a lot of sleep.
It doesn't come up on the show at all, so I guess it wasn't, like, an incident.
Yeah. I normally truly don't like to comment on people's appearances, but I'll do it anyway. Even in her, like, casting photo, she does have, like, pretty... like, puffy eyes, so that could be how she looks.
It was just, like, on one eye, though. Like, it looked like a bruise. I was like, damn.
I mean, it could have been from the the paintball thing. Like, she might have just got, like, clocked in the face.
True.
So I think that would have, ended up.
Oh, do we want to talk about that? We didn't talk about that at all. That was pretty fun.
Yeah. You time check. We are at 11 minutes.
Who is the red team? Like, one team was just, they had no idea what the fuck they were doing. There was that one woman on the red team who was just, like, calling out plays.
Yeah.
She was like, all right, we're going to want to run a 3-4-3 Let's keep MJ? The attack wide. I think
Not MJ.
MJ was on the winning team though, MJ I believe. Was
yeah, I think so.
I just knew as soon as I figured out what team Victoria was, I was like, okay, Victoria's team is gonna win this because she will literally kill someone right now.
The paint fight had to have been in Roger Sherman's like recap of it, because that's exactly the kind of thing he would break down. See if I can get some. Let's see. Bachelor. It happened on this past week, right? That was the he called it a bottle episode for Sarah.
There's gotta be, I know they said like no rules, but like were there, they were just really like allowed to just body each other out there, you
pretty
know?
Much
they
I
were
think, yeah.
Did you not see
the only rule
like,
was to get
what if one girl like swing heart... like would that be okay? That wouldn't be okay, right?
What if one girl was what
started throwing punches?
I mean that might have been what happened.
Would the referee have to interfere at a certain point?
The referee was a prop, John. Did you not see that?
He had credentials.
One of Roger Sherman's articles is just like, is Victoria even a good villain? Like, this reminded me. So when Victoria and Marilyn were having their conversation, Victoria said that they're like oil and vinegar. And Roger says that she apparently got 3/4 of it through a common phrase before thinking about a salad. Oh, God.
Yeah, I think she's not going to be a great villain. She's going to have, like, the Moff Gideon thing, where you think they're this really strong, foreboding, powerful villain, but then, like, at the end, they're just like, foiled by someone kind of smarter than me.
I don't think
she's
going to be...
The name of the retreat is the Nemacolon, by the way. The Nemacolon? Yeah. Nemacolon?
Where is it?
Nemacolon.
Apparently, it is not as nice as it looks on TV. That's some of the background information I've gotten, but there's no way it's not still nicer than how boring the La Quinta looked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to find any recap of the paint.
A lot of hot tubs this season.
Yeah, I think this is what I was saying earlier. I think those are like purposely involved in the date just so that they can get Matt to take his shirt off.
Yeah, because... We saw a little. We didn't see a lot of shirtless Pete, to be honest.
No, because Pete wasn't the most like in shape.
He was more
a former professional athlete.
He was in shape, and he was like, you know, he's tall and whatnot. But he wasn't like he didn't seem like a guy who like lifts, you know, for his job.
Yeah. He had an attainable body type. I will never look like Matt James.
No,
never, nowhere close.
Roger in this article is talking specifically about like that one moment of lucidity had for Victoria, and she's like heartbreaking. The worst person we know just made a good point. man. Okay. I can't find anything about the paint. Let's spend the last few minutes talking about where this season's going from here, what we're excited about. If we have any favorites that we're going to continue to watch. I know we mentioned Abigail at the beginning. She's someone that I am particularly excited about. I think the only other one I really had was the girl from Georgia, Rachel.
Yeah, she's dope.
She seems nice. Although potentially had a brown face incident on Instagram. So, you know, we can never win.
What is with these people?
Bro, where do they find these people?
Can never win with any of these people.
Where do they find these people? Florida State?
And coming Georgia, apparently. Bro, yeah, I was going to say Rachel. Serena P is my number one right now. Rachel's up there, and Katie's probably, like, number two.
Oh, did we want to go through, like, one by one to talk about all these girls?
It might not have been Rachel.
There's
32
no.
girls, bro. We're not going to do that.
We could just get rid of the ones that didn't make it past the first night. Whatever, it's fine.
It's too much. We would have had to prepare.
I like Kit. She hasn't really done too much on the show, but I liked when Victoria was announced the queen, that Kit was like the president and the CEO and the king.
I thought that was kind of a lame comeback, bro. Yeah. I don't know about that.
It made me laugh out loud.
It's a corny ass comeback.
Kit and Rachel's drama kind of gave me vibes to back when back when Kyrie Irving was on the Celtics, and how he was on the same team as Jaylen Brown, because Jaylen Brown like went to Cal, like goes to Sloan and MIT and does like lectures and like does all these things about racial justice. And then Kyrie just puts like the eyes emoji on his Instagram and like uses like all caps, like the actual like intelligent versus woke, because Kit's mom is a high profile like fashion designer. Like her job is listed as like fashion entrepreneur, but she just works for her mom's company.
Damn,
and I'm like, well, I was kind of like, Kit is like an actual like, yeah, like the president CEO thing is like funny because like Kit is like an actual like businesswoman, lives in like the kind of the high society and probably even has met like legit royalty. And Victoria's like, I'm the queen.
I like how they all had, like, everybody always has a gimmick, and hers was just, like, I'm very rich.
Yeah. She just shows up with, like, 8 bags.
She pulled up in the Bentley.
Yeah.
I don't like her.
I don't after she was part of the bullying of Sarah.
Yeah, she's also only 21. She's probably the youngest on this list, and I don't know. Something about like, she's like, I'm a boss bitch. Like I work. No, it's like, no, you're barely old enough to drink and your family has just given you this whatever title and money that you want to act like you weren't. Rich people rub me the wrong way.
Yes, sir.
It's a lot of, I don't know. I just don't like her energy. It's very,
Seems really cool though, but I don't know. Maybe too cool for school, bro. When she started bullying Sarah, I was like, I'm out. That's like Katie obviously did the right thing in the end. Rachel and Serena P, all really good. None of them were part of the group of bullying that was happening. Mm. Wasn't a fan of that.
Let's see.
I would also like to give a shout out to Anna. She is roommates with a girl I was friends with in high school. So I kind of know her.
Is she still on the show?
She is indeed on the show.
Anna's got them chompers, bro.
Yeah, she has a very wide smile.
I love her bio.
She's very attractive. Very
good looking.
The first fun fact on her bio is that she is all caps terrified of fish and obsessed, again, all caps with cheese.
Nice.
She dreams of writing screenplays for a Hallmark movie, which almost sounds like a Hallmark movie in itself. Like that just sounds like it. Oh man, this is gonna be my $1 million idea for Hallmark and or Netflix, where it's just like Stranger Than Fiction, except a woman's writing her own Hallmark story.
New conspiracy theory: Anna's only on this show to gain information to one day write a Hallmark story.
She's just doing character research for her show. Let's see. All right, y'all. We're at the 3-minute warning. Would have been a funnier goof if I waited a minute. What else do we want to talk about? Any fun more things? Any more goofs? Any more things we're excited about?
Chris Harrison apparently writes extremely erotic novels.
Yeah. Thank God.
Insane.
I'm not reading that. I don't mean to know but you or like be a bad improv partner, but I could not be less excited about Chris Harrison's erotic novels.
We didn't even talk at all about that group date, which was amazing because it was just like it was great because it was just like Victoria got up there and you just heard scene one beep.
Yeah,
that's just very so funny. Long beeps. And he
and he
fucking Chris Harrison's face was just like so shook.
See, the selected passage of Chris's book features his female protagonist yearning for satisfaction from her man, and also the word buttocks, consistently rated one of the sexiest words in the English language. Wow, it has 3.5 stars on Goodreads.
It's pretty good.
I think it's not too I don't know bad, if Goodreads does out of 4 or 5. No, it's out of 5.
5.
Right. 2,300 ratings and 274 reviews.
Evan, you've been watching these a lot longer. Did anybody know that about Chris Harrison?
I had no idea. So I think that was completely out of the blue.
Chris Harrison, I feel like, is getting more unhinged every season.
He definitely kind of seems like it.
Chris Harrison's begging to be canceled.
I feel like two seasons ago he was like kind of staying out the way, and now he just like kind of pulls up to any situation.
He's like, what more do I possibly have to do to get removed from the show so I can enjoy, so I can be around my family again,
so I can work on my novels.
Drew, I'm also looking forward to the new women that are joining the cast, and
we are getting five new women this week.
Everything will go calmly and smoothly, and there will be no drama introducing
new women.
As we've
gotten through the teaser, we've got Victoria towering over like two women at the window and being like, who the fuck are those people? And then also one of the women just being like, well, they just wanted to save the best for last, so like, you know, real Noah Who was that other dude? Riley? Was that? Who was the dude that came in?
No, Riley was
Spencer.
Spencer. Yeah, Riley was already on the show. Spencer was the one who came in on episode one and was like, yeah, basically it was like, we're batting cleanup, and had the same kind of energy.
Yeah.
The easiest way to make friends is by immediately just talking shit to their face.
Yeah. I hear that's, you know, it's just the prison mentality. You show up and you just like punch the biggest person in the prison yard. And you just hope everything goes well. So I'm excited to watch Victoria get in a fist fight.
I want to see who Victoria, like, has she decided, like, who her next victim is going to be, her next target?
It's probably going to be someone who joins the show.
Yeah, surely is.
Oh.
Yeah, I think she figured out from the Sarah thing that it's a slightly easier if you can just get everyone else on your side instead of... I mean, she took down Marilyn solo. That was...
That was impressive.
She really just want, 1v1. You know, hop on Rust real quick.
Rest in peace, Marilyn.
All right, folks. No kiss counter because we did a couple weeks. That's also Corey's bit, so we'll find out how he wants us to do that in the future. We don't want to take everything from him, but we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening to this recap. We hope to be pretty much more consistent with our returning to weekly episodes in the future. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. I have been your host, Drew Baker, for Some of the Guys Talk the Bachelor, and we'll talk to you next week where we try to do better.
Peace.
See y'all.